So, good morning. Today I would like to present findings on discrepant hepatitis B surface antigen test results in pregnant women screened to identify infants at risk for perinatal hepatitis B infection. First, I would like to begin this presentation by providing some background information, then a brief description of the project methods to be followed by the results of the project, and finally I will conclude my talk. Infants with hepatitis B infection typically are asymptomatic. Less than 1% show symptoms, and they are more likely to develop chronic infection. 15 to 25% are at lifetime risk for cirrhosis and hepatocellular carcinoma. In an effort to identify infants at risk for hepatitis B infection, the Advisory Committee on Immunization, ACIP, first made a screening recommendation in 1984 recommending that pregnant women with behavior risk factors for hepatitis B infection be screened for hepatitis B surface antigen. The recommendation was updated in 1988 to include screening of all pregnant women for hepatitis B surface antigen. Please note that a pregnant woman is to be screened for hepatitis B surface antigen for each pregnancy regardless of her prior knowledge of her status. Many studies have now demonstrated that post-exposure prophylaxis prevents most vertically transmitted hepatitis B infection. In 2005, ACIP provided recommendations for infants born to hepatitis B surface antigen positive women, which included providing one dose or the first dose of hepatitis B vaccine and hepatitis B immune globulin to infants within 12 hours of birth, completion of the hepatitis B vaccine series according to a recommended schedule, and performing post-vaccination testing for hepatitis B surface antigen and antibody to hepatitis B surface antigen or anti-HBS after completion of the vaccine series. To ensure appropriate post-exposure prophylaxis, infants at risk for perinatal hepatitis B transmission are identified by screening pregnant women for acute or chronic hepatitis B infection. Hepatitis B surface antigen is the principal marker of acute and chronic hepatitis B infection. Presented here is the serology of chronic hepatitis B infection. During acute infection, followed by development of chronic hepatitis B infection, hepatitis B surface antigen, which is represented by the orange line, and hepatitis B E antigen, the pink bar, become measurable. Over time, hepatitis B surface antigen continues to be present. This is the antigen that is used to screen all pregnant women. Also important for our discussion is antibody to hepatitis B core antigen, which includes IgM and is represented by the blue line, and IgM only, the yellow line, become measurable, and total anticore, the blue line, persists for life. So if we were trying to confirm if a person had ever had hepatitis B, the total anticore antibody is our best test. It is only likely to be negative in the context of hepatitis B infection in the first 1 to 2 months after exposure. Unless a person has only recently been exposed or has very early acute infection, total anticore will answer the question of whether the person has ever had hepatitis B infection. So, how are tests reported? Hepatitis B surface antigen screening tests are reported as positive, negative, or indeterminate. Hepatitis B assays used in the U.S. are all FDA approved and as such require some form of confirmation of a positive hepatitis B surface antigen result, either by neutralization, repeat testing, or some other method. There are limitations of the test to be considered. For the assay itself, discrepant results are more likely if the signal to cutoff ratio, which is the basis for determining a positive, negative, or an indeterminate result, are close to the cutoff value due to the limited sensitivity at lower limit of detection. Just like the assay, the confirmatory test also has limited sensitivity at lower limits of detection. Because of these limitations exist, additional serology is needed to resolve discrepancies. Oh, sorry. So what's the rationale for rapid resolution of discrepant results? Well, there is limited time before delivery, and you need to direct case management of infants if they are at risk. You want to reduce the number and cost of additional prenatal visits for blood draws and to accurately inform women of their hepatitis B status for care and treatment. Possible reasons for discrepant results include failure to confirm the test, technical error, test kit defects, false positives due to recent vaccination, or misinterpretation of the results. So the objectives of this project were to determine the factors that might contribute to discrepancies and to develop a consistent approach to resolving these discrepancies. The form for this project and the project protocol were made available through the Perinatal Hepatitis B website provided by CDC, and Perinatal Hepatitis B coordinators were asked to submit the forms via email for any discrepant case they were made aware of after April the 1st, 2009. So, we defined a discrepant hepatitis B surface antigen test result for a pregnant woman as two separate hepatitis B screenings of a pregnant woman that results when the initial hepatitis B surface antigen screening test is positive and the subsequent screening test is negative. Perinatal Hep B coordinators were asked to complete information on the forms that included demographic information as well as laboratory test information. To complete data collection, coordinators faxed de-identified copies of lab reports when requested, and also attempts were made to contact laboratories to complete missing information. There were 81 reports of discrepant hepatitis B surface antigen test results in pregnant women submitted. The reports were submitted by local and state perinatal hepatitis B coordinators. A variety of FDA-licensed hepatitis B surface antigen assay kits were used to screen for a hepatitis B surface antigen. Avia, Centaur, and Vitros HBsAg-ECI were the most common. Screening was conducted in four laboratory settings, which included hospital and medical centers, local and regional private laboratories, state public health labs, and national private laboratories, namely LabCorp and Quest Diagnostics. Reports of discrepant results were received for all race and ethnic groups, and the median age for the reported discrepancies was 28 and ranged from 16 to 49. At the time of reporting to CDC, the resolution status of the discrepant results were as follows. 46% had been resolved locally with additional testing. 32% submitted the reports requesting input from CDC to resolve the discrepancy. And for 22% of the reports submitted, there was insufficient information to resolve the discrepancy or to determine how it had been resolved locally or at the state level. Major factors contributing to the discrepant results for the submitted reports were a failure to confirm the test for 16%, result of signal to cutoff ratio being at the lower limit of detection where that information was available, which was for 6% of the reports, misinterpretation of laboratory reports for 10%, and false positive resulting from vaccination for 4%, and technical error as documented via laboratory investigation. We were unable to determine the factor for discrepancy for 60% of the submitted reports. We approached the resolving of the discrepancy itself by viewing additional serology information provided with the report submitted. For example, discrepancies where total antibodies to hepatitis B core antigen or hepatitis B DNA information was available could be resolved. Antibodies to hepatitis B core antigen IgM only being submitted could not be resolved because it didn't exclude for chronic infection. Hepatitis B surface antibody with history of vaccination could also be used to resolve. So there were 39 reports submitted with the total antibody to core hepatitis B antigen information, 7 reports submitted with hepatitis B DNA information only, 12 reports submitted with antibody to hepatitis B core antigen IgM information only, and 5 reports submitted with some antibody to hepatitis B surface antigen information. There were 18 reports that only had hepatitis B surface antigen information. So applying the aforementioned approach, we were able to resolve 60% of the submitted reports. 45 of the reports were determined to be false positives based on a negative total antibody to HBC, no hepatitis B DNA being detected, and vaccination history with a positive anti-HBs result. Four of the reports were determined to be true positives, and we were unable to resolve 40% of the submitted reports. The limitations of this study were that the reports submitted were a convenient sample and not likely representative. There was a lack of signal to cutoff information available because the labs did not store it, and most laboratories were unwilling to provide additional information when contacted. So, failure of laboratories to confirm positive test results was the most common technical error associated with discrepant hepatitis B surface antigen results. Other laboratory technical problems constituted a small proportion of the discrepant results in this sample, and misinterpretation or simply misunderstanding of results was the second most common reason for failure to resolve discrepancies. In conclusion, all discrepant results require resolution. There were some true positives in this sample. The majority of the discrepant reports were false positives. Testing for total anti-HBC was the most useful single test for resolving the discrepancies. So in closing, to resolve discrepant hepatitis B surface antigen results in pregnant women, perinatal hepatitis B prevention programs should consider incorporating total anti-HBC testing into their local protocol and additional training on interpretation and selection of appropriate follow-up serology for discrepant hepatitis B antigen results would also be very helpful. I would like to thank the state and local perinatal hepatitis B coordinators, as well as my colleagues from CDC and the divisions of viral hepatitis and the immunization services division. Thank you.